impossible for God. The circumstances you're in right now are prime for a miracle of God. They're prime for a miracle of God. They are prime for a miracle of God. God's ready to move in your life. He can heal you. He can transform you. He's going to lift you up. The darkness is great. Light shines best in darkness. It's not too late. You're here right now because God brought you to this church. God wants to work in your life, baby. You got to humble yourself. You got to seek him with all of your heart. He sees you and he loves you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, God.
Hey friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Ruben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. We're in this series called The Promised Guest, and we're looking at a few prophecies that you find in the Old Testament about Jesus, and I'm enjoying this very much so. There's over 300 prophecies in the Bible about Jesus, but there's actually, some Bible scholars say as much as 500 plus. So there's a lot. Isn't that crazy how Jesus has fulfilled so many prophecies? It's amazing. There's nobody like him. The odds, for some of you are math people, figure that out. The odds of one man fulfilling 300, 500 prophecies is pretty astronomical. But Jesus, there's one prophecy I want to focus on today, and it's found in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. I almost said the Gospel of Isaiah. And you know, it's probably appropriate to call it the Gospel of Isaiah, even though it's in the Old Testament, because Isaiah is known as having a lot of messianic themes, messianic prophecies. So Isaiah is this prophet, and the scene is about 700 BC. And we're going to be looking at a passage in Isaiah chapter 9. The backdrop behind Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to work to Jesus. Glory to God. But the backdrop behind Isaiah chapter 9 is Israel has made a series of mistakes. Anybody here ever make a series of mistakes? I want to talk to the person who's taken the wrong turn. Anybody feel like I've taken a wrong turn and you find yourself in a situation? Somebody once said life consists of 20% decisions and 80% consequences of those decisions. Think about that for a little bit. Who you're with, where you're at, where do you live, all those things, even your spiritual decisions, 20% decisions. And so much of our life, we're living in the consequences of our decisions, and for better or for worse, right? Israel is at a time when they have made some poor decisions about relationships. Anybody ever make a wrong decision about a relationship? You're like, she looks fine. I know I shouldn't be with her, but I want her. You know what I'm talking about? Or I know I shouldn't be with him. I know he's a player, but he'll be different with me. Hello. And then you find yourself in a situation, and you're like, how did I get here? What is this about? Well, you're going to love this message, guys. Isaiah chapter 9, let's start at verse 1. It starts with the word nevertheless. Can you say nevertheless? We're going to look at that word here in a little bit. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. So the prophet Isaiah, he's talking to his children in the Old Testament. His children, that's Israel. Those are the chosen people of God, started by this one guy named Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. And God is talking to Israel, and he's saying, nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. In other words, they're in a season of darkness and despair. Like when you're in a tough time and you find yourself in a situation and maybe you're working through a job situation or relationship or it's a breakup or unemployment or whatever it is, or you're spiritually drifted away from God. And there's this season where it's darkness and despair. And the prophet Isaiah is saying it's going to be temporary. Just hang on. It feels like it's never going to end. It feels like you're never going to get out of this spiritual rut or relational rut, whatever it is. It's not going to go on forever. And then he says this, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. Say Zebulun and Naphtali. I preached this whole message last service, and would you believe we had two people in the service, and their names were Zebulun. How cool is that? That's such an odd thing. And I thought that was, this message is for you. How do you even get away from that one? The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. So what does humbled mean? It means to lower. If you want to know God, your first step is to humble yourself before God. You got to humble yourself. If you don't humble, the opposite of humility is pride. So when you think highly of yourself, when you don't have a teachable spirit, when nobody can tell you anything because you already know everything, right? But the way to God starts with you humbling yourself before God. Hey, brother, good to see you. And humbling yourself before God. That's where it starts. This is a position of new beginnings. And it's hard for us. Did you know the older you get, the harder it is to humble yourself? All of you 50-plus-year-olds, you know what I'm talking about. All you old people. You know, my Spotify age is 24. I just learned that this week. I'm pretty excited about that. I might be going by 24. That's my Spotify age. Anyway, you got to humble yourself before God. I got to keep going. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future. It's going to happen in the future. Remember, Isaiah the prophet is talking to Israel. They took the wrong turn. There will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with what, church?
Glory.
So this is really cool. The prophet Isaiah is talking to the Israelites who took a wrong turn. They're in a place of darkness and deep despair. And he's telling them, it's not going to go on forever. God's going to change your circumstances. Turn to the person next to you. Just tell them, God's going to change your circumstances. Nothing's impossible for God. Glory to God. You're going to be so glad you came to church today. Verse 2. The people, what time do the Broncos play, incidentally? Are they playing right now?
Two.
I was going to say, way to go for being here while the Broncos are playing. But I know you'd be here anyway, so praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord, right? Some people are clapping. Jesus is Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Now, again, the prophet Isaiah is describing the spiritual condition. There's people who are walking in darkness. What does that mean? Does that mean all the lights are out? He's talking about a spiritual darkness. It's a metaphor. They're in a spiritually dark place, emotional, relational, whatever. And he says, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. Such a cool line. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. I love verse 5. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms blood-stained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. And here comes verse 6 and 7. 6 is so popular. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called, let's read it out loud, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's talking about Jesus. His government and its peace will never end. Hallelujah. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Holy Spirit, move here, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to make sure we see what's happening here. This whole thing is going down. in a place called Naphtali and Zebulun. And here's a map I want to show you guys. This represents the 12 tribes of Israel, all come from a man named Jacob. And these are Jacob's sons. And the 12 tribes, this is the promised land. This is a place where God said, inhabit this place and drive out all of these pagan, unholy nations. And Naphtali and Zebulun, what we just read in Isaiah chapter 9, is all happening in this area where you can see Zebulun is this wine red color. You see that? And then Naphtali is this orange color. Somebody had to tell me that because I'm colorblind, but I'm believing that. And the Sea of Galilee is right next to it. You see that? So everything that we're talking about here is happening in this northern area. This is important to know. Now, what happened was when they came into this area, God told them, I want you to be holy. I want you to be righteous. I want you to be obedient. So they go into this area, and it's inhabited by unholy people, non-Israelites, a.k.a. Gentiles, right? And God said, I want you to drive them out. But you know what they did? The men looked at the women and said, I don't know if I want to drive her out. She looks good. She's fine. She's hot. You know what? I'll go out on one date with her. And the women, likewise, they went and they had these relationships, and they ended up going into the wrong relationships, and they ended up having babies that were not pure Israelites. And the next thing you know is they're looking at, and the way they worship, the way they do church is very different from the God of Israel. Very different from the Mosaic system that they learned that was been passed down. So they're learning their gods, and little by little, they start compromising. Have you ever been in a relationship where you start compromising who you are? And little by little, you start doing things that you didn't do before. Thinking things and habits and all of those things. And little by little, you become someone different. So Zebulun and Naphtali is a place where they wake up every day and they think, why am I here? It doesn't look at all like it's supposed to look. It's a reminder that they failed. It's a reminder that they're weak. It's a reminder that they sinned. It's a reminder that they've been defeated. It's a reminder that they weren't strong enough. It's a reminder, and they're worshiping other gods, and they're doing other things. They have a hard time looking in the mirror. Now it's this place of spiritual darkness, right? So that's what's happening in Zebulun and Naphtali. That's what's happening. And maybe you could identify that a little bit. Maybe you've been in a situation right now, and you're thinking, this is a rough situation. How in the world did I get here? I don't like who I am, and I don't want to be the person I am, and I am, and the situation, like, how in the world why am I living in a car? Why am I living in this apartment? Why am I at this job? Why am I running like this on Friday nights? Why am I doing these things? Why am I hitting this? Why am I doing this in my garage? And why am I looking on my phone and looking at these videos here? I don't, been there before? 2 Kings chapter 17 describes the spiritual condition of this situation that we read about in Isaiah chapter 9. And I want you to understand what was happening spiritually with the Israelites. This is from God's perspective. 2 Kings chapter 17 says, this disaster came upon the people of Israel because they worshiped other gods. You will become what you worship. Whatever you worship, whatever you bow down to, will eventually affect who you are. You got to understand that. If it's money, if it's sex, if it's a career, whatever you bow down to, you will worship. Maybe it's yourself. They sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them safely out of Egypt and had rescued them from the power of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. You know what the writer is telling us here? They disregarded the God of their redemption. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, hasn't God been good in your life? Hasn't he given you? You have strength. You look relatively healthy, all of you. I don't think you're missing a meal too much. God has provided. He's given you breath in your lungs. You're alive today by the grace of God. God is watching over you, taking care of you. Hallelujah, I'm standing with you. I'm with you. They secretly did things that were not pleasing to God. They started worshiping other gods, and they ignored God's prophets. You know, other Bible scholars, when you drill down into this story, it's about 200 years. When they took a wrong turn, and God waited like 200 years for them to get back on course. You know, some of you, you're not living right before God's eyes. And I want you to know God sees you, God knows it, and God loves you. And God is being kind to you because he's waiting for you to come to your senses. He's waiting for you to humble yourself. He's waiting for you to turn to him. And he does that because of his grace. So he's been waiting for the Israelites, but they've been ignoring all the warnings of God. And when you look into story, one of the things you can take away with this story is you got to be careful who you admire. When the Israelites went into this land, they started admiring the wrong people. Their eyes went from God to women, to guys, whatever. They started looking at the wrong things. You got to be careful who you look up to. You got to be careful who has your ear. You got to be careful who's influencing you. You can let the wrong person influence you, can't you? You can let the boss, the coworker, the friend, that man, that woman, and you can look at them thinking, oh, they have a life that I want. I like their freedom. I like their lifestyle. I know they don't go to church all the time, but they're really, I like the way they reason through their faith. I like the way they rationalize their relationship with God. I know they're not perfect, but I want to be like them. You better be careful who you admire. Maybe it's a social influencer, and you look at their videos and you think, boy, I want to have that life. I want to have that life. You got to be careful who you admire. Be careful. God wanted the Israelites to admire him. Instead, they started admiring all the people around them. And check it out. Verse 14 says this, the Israelites would not listen. That's a spiritual condition right there. When you're in a place of spiritual darkness and your mind is spiritually darkened, you can sit in a service and not listen to the service. You can sit in a message and not listen to the message. You know that? It's possible to sit there thinking this is for someone else. When is it going to end? This is not for me. Turn to the person next to you and just tell them, open up your ears. Can you do that? Tell them, open up your ears. They were as stubborn as their ancestors who had refused to believe in the Lord their God. They rejected his decrees and the covenant he made with their ancestors, and they despised all his warnings. They worshipped worthless idols. Look at this. So they became worthless themselves. They followed the example of the nations around them, disobeying the Lord's command and not to imitate them. They rejected all the commands of the Lord their God and made two calves from metal. They set up the Asherah pole and worshiped Baal and all the forces of heaven. They even sacrificed their own sons and daughters in the fire. Did the unthinkable. Parents, can you imagine? They consulted fortune tellers and practiced sorcery and sold themselves to evil. Look at this, arousing the Lord's anger. Wow, you see the emotions of God. We don't always think of that when we turn away from God. In Genesis, when everyone, you know, did evil things, scripture says it broke God's heart. It broke God's heart. And here we see that it saddened God and aroused the Lord's anger. It was bad. They were imitating the wrong thing. They were following the wrong thing. We have a lot of single adults in this room, and I'll just tell you, if you're going to date someone, bring the kind of date that you can bring to church, that you can introduce to the pastor. Don't get caught up in the hookup culture. Don't do that. Don't sell yourself short. God loves you. You're beautiful. You're a child of God. Keep that in mind. Here's the warning in this whole thing. That thing you detest can infiltrate your heart and become your God. At one point, you could think, no, this is wrong and this is right. And you can be thinking like that, like, no, God wants me to live like this. And, you know, God wants, he doesn't want me to lie. He doesn't want me to cheat. He doesn't want me to steal. Whatever it is, you can think like that. But if you look at it long enough, it's like, I used to turn away, now I look for it. I used to preach about it, now it's my secret. You know what I'm talking about? It used to turn my stomach, but now I crave it. Now I do it in the now I do it in the dark. I used to be really strong about that, but now not so much. Just a little bit is okay. I'm in control. Just a little bit. It's not going to hurt anything. I'm in control. And that's where they were at. And here's what God did. In the year 721 BC, God said, enough. And he stirred the heart of an Assyrian king, a pagan king, stirred the heart of an Assyrian king to invade Zebulun and Naphtali and that whole north region. 721 AD, they invade, they take over, they take over this town called Samaria, and they take over. Sometimes, you know, for some of us, the bottom has to fall out before we start turning to God, right? It has to get really bad for you to turn to God. Some of us are like that. We're just wired that way. And comfort can be used as a tool from the enemy as well. The enemy, if you have a good lifestyle and a life of comfort and you're enjoying your life, you may not feel any urgency to turn to God. It's an illusion. Do you know how fragile your body is? Every day is a gift from God. Every day is a gift from God. And what God did with Israel, he said, look, I've been warning you with prophets. You're stubborn. You're hard-headed. Now I stirred the heart of this Assyrian king, and now they're invading. And now you're going to see what it looks like to live in a place where I'm not in the center of it anymore. Darkness falls over this entire land. And I love verse 1. I'm going to go back to verse 1 because the prophet Isaiah is trying to help Israel understand all this. And did you catch the very first word in the verse 1? Let's read it together. Together. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. It says, nevertheless. Say nevertheless with me, nevertheless. The prophet Isaiah speaks, you have a God who sees your life. You have a God who sees your thoughts from a distance. You have a God that knows what you did on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You have a God who knows everything about you. He sees you. And God's telling Israel, look, I have seen everything you've done. I've seen you worship these false gods. I've seen you build that Asherah pole. I saw you worship Baal. I see you run with the wrong guys. I'm seeing you having sex with the wrong people. I'm seeing you bow down and worship. I see your stubbornness. I see your pride. And he starts off with verse 1. He says, nevertheless. You know what nevertheless means? In spite of. In spite of your sin. In spite of your stupidity. In spite of your stubbornness, in spite of your ignorance, in spite of your superiority, in spite of your pride, in spite of your sleeping around, in spite of you worshiping some other crazy, stupid God, in spite of all of those things, there's a God who loves you and cares about you that's going to reach out to you because you belong to him. Glory to God. God just loves different. He just loves different. Your unfaithfulness does not determine the faithfulness of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you, it's easy to walk away. You've walked away from stuff. You've walked away from responsibilities. You've walked away from hard situations. You've walked away. Your God doesn't walk away. Some of you walked away from God. And maybe it's been a long time since you've been at church. And God has been extending kindness over you. And he's even blessed you in spite of. In spite of. That's God's grace. And his faithfulness is just different from our faithfulness. And verse 2, check it out. It said, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Reminds me of a time when I was many years ago, and I was in Hawaii on a hike, and I'm the guy who likes to go where tourists typically don't go. I know some of you like the bougie life, and you're at the hotels, and you like all the foods, and I don't like all that stuff. So I like to go to places that are more off-road kind of thing, and I get myself in trouble. There was this one time we were in the jungle. It was literally at midnight, no flashlights. It was dark as dark can be. I couldn't see my hand in front of me. It was that level of darkness, and eventually I saw a light, and it was the fire department search and rescue of Hawaii, and they were looking, and I was so excited when I saw the light. I'm like, there's a light. That's all I wanted to see. And when I look at this verse, I'm putting myself back in Oahu. I'm putting myself on that trail. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 3 said, you will enlarge the nation of Israel. Now, who's you? It's God. This is not about your efforts. You have to understand this. Some of you are pretty resourceful, and that's how you get through life, right? Maybe you have strong relational skills. Maybe you have a pretty good mind. Maybe you're one of these, you know, do-it-yourself kind of people. That's great, but it's easy to rely on yourself. It's easy to do that. And God's telling Israel he's going to be the author of the redemption, not them. He's the one that's going to deliver. He's the one that's going to restore. He's the one that's going to heal. He's the one that's going to mend. Verse 4 says, for you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. So he's talking about the future, and he's saying this place where you're at, this land of deep darkness and despair, is not going to go on forever. One day it's going to be different. And he says, for you will break the yoke of their slavery. He's talking about what God will do. Hear this. The Holy Spirit will break what you can't break. The Holy Spirit will break what you can't break. That addiction that you're battling, that demon that you're facing, that anxiety, depression, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit will break what you can't break. That memory that haunts you, that memory that has your number, that trigger that keeps popping up everywhere you look. God has the ability to work in your memories, and he has the ability to work in your present. He has the ability to work in your circumstances. Glory to God. There's some things you can't shake off. You need the Holy Spirit to shake it off. Amen. You need the Holy Spirit. I love verse 5. He's talking about the future. You got to remember, he's talking to them 700 BC. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. I'm wearing my boots today. Make sure you get a close-up of my boots, Jonathan. These are cool boots. Make sure you get them on the screen. Oh, there they are. See this? Red Wings. Some of you came to church and you got boots on. Maybe literally, I don't know. But what he's saying here is the boots tell the story. They've been places they shouldn't have been. My uniform that's stained with blood. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you came to church, and you got a story. There's things that have happened in your life, maybe that you haven't even shared with other people. People may not even know you've been married before. They may not know the whole story, but God knows the whole story. They may not know what you did that one night in that hookup, but God knows what you did that night. They may not know what you did last night, but God knows what you did that last night. They may not know who you are at work, but God knows who you are at work. And there's things in our life that we live with, and we keep quiet. God says, no, check it out. He is a redemptive God. And he says the boots of the warrior and the uniform bloodstained by war will be burned. Glory to God. It means that you don't need it anymore. It's gone. And check it out. They will be fuel for the fire. What fire are we talking about? It's a new beginning kind of fire. What once hurt you won't be needed anymore. Glory to God. What once hurt you won't be needed anymore. Burn it. God says, just burn it. You don't need that anymore. Stop dwelling on that. Just burn it. Let God burn it out of your life. You don't need to dwell on that anymore. You don't need to give it that much credit anymore. God's going to give you a new memory. In other words, what the devil meant for evil, God's going to use for good. That place of hurt is going to become a place of healing. The sounds of pain will be replaced by sounds of rejoicing. What the enemy used to drain you, God's going to use to develop you. That's what's going to happen. That's that Zebulun and Naphtali, whatever that is in your life. Some of you need to hear this. You will laugh again. Amen. I'm going to give you a gift right now. Can everybody just smile? Show me your teeth. Even if you have one tooth missing, it's all good. Some of you just need to smile in your home. I know some of you are like, well, I'm a Christian. Well, can you let your face know you're a Christian? Can you do something? This is a new day. You came to church today. This is a new beginning. It's right under your nose. Can you smell it? Can you smell what God wants to do in your life? Perhaps my favorite verse, I feel like I'm saying that about every verse, is verse 7. It says, the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make all this happen. So everything we just read from verses 1 to 7, place of deep darkness, walking in darkness, God's going to deliver, God's going to break all these things, and your uniform and your boots, throw them in the fire, and he's going to bring light, and all this stuff that, it's like, here's the motivation behind all of it. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. I know some of you are naturally skeptical and suspicious. Somebody do something for you, and you're like, what do you want? You know who you are. What does that pastor really want? What does that church really want? What are they after? Why are you opening the door for me? Why are you want to pay for my meal? You know, we're just natural. God is telling you right here why he's doing all of this. He's telling you right here what's motivating him, what's under the table. Another version says it like this. Now I want to read another version to you. It says, the zeal of the Lord. Can you say zeal with me? I like that word way better. You know what that word zeal means? It means ardor, jealousy, extreme vigor, intensity. So God's going to redeem, he's going to restore, and he's going to do all this because of the zeal within him. Because of the zeal. I did a little word study on this. The Hebrew root meaning for the word zeal, the Hebrew word is to boil with heat or to be hot. To boil with heat or to be hot. That's the Hebrew. The Greek language means this, to become very red. All my people of color over here have, you know, I know you never turn red, but white people turn red when they get angry or something like that, right? White, yeah, you never tell me, Reuben, you're red. Nobody ever tells me that. But when someone gets excited or angry, you can see it, right? So here's really what's happening here. God is saying, I love them so much. Let me say it like this. God has a red hot, boiling over, never ending, passionate love for you and doesn't want anyone else to have you. It's the zeal that motivates him not to give up on you. It's the zeal of the Lord. It's this idea of, I'm gonna hunt you down even though you walked away from me. I'm gonna go after you even though you don't want me. I'm gonna show my grace over you even though you're not praying for any grace. I'm gonna show my kindness over you. I'm gonna bless you even though you're not. And God's desire, he's saying, you belong to me. That's what God is saying. You are mine. And you've drifted, but I haven't forgotten you, and he's going to go after the one. That's the zeal of the Lord. He has this never and this jealous desire to have you, and he wants you to know him, and everything else is an enemy. Everything else is an enemy. And God is waiting for you to turn to him because his love, his zeal is so great. And you don't have to hold on to your anger. You don't have to hold on to your hurt. You don't have to hold on to that sin. God wants to set you free. That's the love of God. He has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for your life. Check it out now, guys. That message was 700 BC. Now let's fast forward. Jesus is walking the earth about 700 years after the prophecy. Here it comes, Matthew chapter 4. We're in the New Testament now. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he's talking about John the Baptist, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, there's his hometown, that's his stomping ground, then left there and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of where? Zebulun and Naphtali. Oh, did you feel that? God, when he started over, you know what he told, I'm going to use a street basketball term. He said, let's run it back. Let's run it back, baby. But this time we're going to do it with my son. This time it's going to be different. Your strength and your willpower wasn't enough. You need the Holy Spirit. Let's run it back. He said, let's do this in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. And then he goes on to say, this fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, read it with me, where so many Gentiles live. Where did those Gentiles come from? All these mixed breeds, where did they come from? You know where they came from? About 700 years before. Israel said, let's not kick him out. She's too fine. Let's not kick him out. He's good looking. You know what? That's where they came from. This is history. Put that map back up there, brother, would you? So when you look at the ministry of Jesus, he focuses in the Sea of Galilee, which is where Zebulun and Naphtali were. It's like he goes back to that dark place and he says, let's run it back now, baby. Let's do it again. And he performs miracles. He casts out demons. He heals the blind and heals the sick. And he walks on water and he feeds 5,000 plus. It all happens in Zebulun and Naphtali. Does anybody have a Zebulun or Naphtali in your life? Oh my word. I don't think you're getting it. I don't think you're getting it. This is crazy. The love of God. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Now this is different because when we read Isaiah 9, remember what Isaiah 9 said? The people who, they were walking in dark. But this time, Jesus says, no. The people who sat in darkness. You know what happens when you're sitting in darkness? It's a place where you think, I give up. I try. I've made such a mess of my life. My life is so complicated. I don't even like who I am in the mirror. I stopped looking in the mirror. I've lost hope. I don't even love myself. I can't forgive myself. Am I preaching to anybody? You see this, and then you see Jesus. He prophesizes now, and he's just recounting the words of Isaiah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow. That's the point where you feel like I'm done. Have you been there before? Maybe you're there right now. You feel like I'm just done. I'm done. I'm done. And for those who lived in the land where death cast a shadow, a light has shined. Well, what light are we talking about? We're talking about the light of the world, Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is saying. I'll put that up again, brother, will you? Jesus shows up as the light of the world in Zebulun and Naphtali. Isn't that cool? He steps into this place where there was deep darkness. Not little darkness, not shallow darkness, but it was deep darkness. He steps into the place where people worshiped other gods, where they sacrificed their own children. He steps into the place where there was hurt and there was crying and wounds and grieving and they didn't like who they were. He steps in that place of deep darkness and he starts there, and this place becomes a central place of his ministry. Hear this, Jesus can transform your Zebulun and Naphtali.
It's your marriage, it's your home, it's your past, it's your memories. Jesus can transform your Zebulun and Naphtali. Nothing is impossible for God. The circumstances you're in right now are prime for a miracle of God. They're prime for a miracle of God. They are prime for a miracle of God. God's ready to move in your life. He can heal you. He can transform you. He's going to lift you up. The darkness is great. Light shines best in darkness. It's not too late. You're here right now because God brought you to this church. God wants to work in your life, baby. You got to humble yourself. You got to seek him with all of your heart. He sees you and he loves you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, God. Oh, put your hands together, somebody. Thank God for his great love for us. The place where you once experienced darkness can now be the central hub for the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible for God. That place that the devil wrecked your life, oh, God is able, the light of the world. Jesus is able. He's able to heal. Oh, I know it's hard. Some of you have been sitting in darkness so long, it shows on your face now. You've forgotten how to laugh. You've forgotten how to smile. You've forgotten how to trust. You've forgotten how all those things. And I want you to know you are not too far for God. You are not too far for God. God sees you. Some of you have a calling over your life and you have put it on the shelf for years, but that calling is still over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not too far. And I get it. Some of you have made such a mess in your life, you don't talk to your kid anymore. You don't talk to that family any member. I get it. Family can be hard. I get it. But I want you to know you have a God of reconciliation and peace. You have a redemptive God who doesn't want anybody to go to hell. You have a God who wants to see everybody with every yoke broken, wants to see everyone be set free from every prison they're in the name of Jesus. Verse 17, Jesus said, from then on, Jesus began to preach. It's so cool. He started in Zebulun and Naphtali, and he started kicking rocks there. And then from then on, it said this. He said, this was the message. Repent. Say repent with me. Repent. Repent of your sins. Here's the pathway right here. You came to church. Here's what your new beginning looks like. You got to humble yourself. Come on. You got to humble yourself. Spiritual self-awareness is a wonderful thing. You gotta humble yourself. That shows God that you want him. That shows God that you see your sin through the eyes of God. That shows God that you recognize you haven't been living a holy life. That shows God that you desire him. You gotta humble yourself. And then it says, repent. The word repent in the original language, you know what it literally means? To change one's mind. There's nothing more powerful than a changed mind. It's this idea of, you know, I used to live like this, and I recognize now that I've been drinking out of the sewer water. I recognize now I've been worshiping the wrong things. I recognize now it's been all about me. And I'm gonna stop living like this because life is short and life is precious and I made a mess of my life enough and I'm not gonna blame others, I'm gonna start with me. And I'm gonna start living a life that's pleasing to my Creator. I'm gonna start living a life that's pleasing to my Jesus. And I'm gonna change my mind. I'm gonna live differently. But it's not just intention. Some of us are really good at changing our mind like an intellectual decision, but our habits don't change. True repentance is a change of mind and a change of decisions, a change of lifestyle, making radical changes. I'm no longer gonna be doing this. I'm no longer gonna be doing that. I want to please God. My all-seeing God sees me. I'm gonna forgive now, and I'm gonna love, and I'm gonna ask God to help me with this. I'm no longer gonna live with it like it's part of my life anymore. I'm no longer gonna accept spiritual darkness in my life. I want the light of the world now, and I ask His Holy Spirit to help me. I ask His Holy Spirit to fill me. I ask His Holy Spirit to give me strength. It's not only your intention,
Somebody said we have a tendency to judge ourselves by our intentions, and we judge everyone else by their actions. You know what that means? You could be hard on others and easy on yourself. Right? Man, you're ready to throw rocks at others, but you overlook a whole lot about yourself. Oh, this is a day to turn to God. This is a day to turn to God. Repent of your sins and turn to God. And then it says, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You know what that means? It's closer than you think. Some of you are living here right now and you're breathing. And you know it's by the grace of God that you're even here right now, right? You know that. It's by the grace of God. I know that. I feel that. And right now you're hearing an anointed word from God. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to respond? This is not just a speech, guys. This is not just a TED Talk. God is trying to get a hold of you because it's the zeal within him that loves you and cares about you and wants to resurrect your life, wants to give you a new life, wants to set you free. It's the zeal within him. He cares about you and he has a purpose for your life. You spent too many years letting the devil inside your head. You've spent too many years letting the devil throw thoughts into your head. This is a new day. For those of you who are Christians or about to become a Christian, get ready by faith. We have baptisms coming up on Easter weekend. I want you to sign up for that. If you've never been baptized and you call yourself a Christian or you're about to become a Christian, get ready. Easter weekend, April 4 and 5. Last Easter weekend, we had 65 people that we baptized. 65. Isn't that cool? I wonder what God's going to do this Easter weekend. I can only imagine. But it starts with you. Now here's, I'm going to give you two invites. I have been doing these two invites ever since I got back from my sabbatical in July. The Lord put it on my heart that the future he has for me requires a new filling of the Holy Spirit. And the future God has for Thorn Creek Church, for you, requires a new filling of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord impressed on my heart. Some of you have been walking with the Lord for a while, and I want you to know there's more. Some of you know life in the Holy Spirit, and I want you to know there's more. That's what the Lord impressed on my heart. So I started with these two invites. So I'm going to throw it out. This is going to require some courage. I'm just telling you right now. It's going to require some courage, but it would please God so much. Here's the ask. You ready for it? Here it comes. If you want to invite Jesus Christ into your heart and you want to become a Christian today, this is where it all starts, the light of the world. Stand on your feet really quickly. Anybody in the house ready to turn to Jesus, stand on your feet really quickly. My sister over here. Anybody else, stand on your feet really quickly. Come on now. Anybody ready to receive Jesus? You want Jesus. Anybody else? God bless you, sister. Oh, stay standing. I'm going to pray for you here in a little bit. Thank you for your courage and your faith. Glory to God. I see the Lord working in you. I was talking to this woman. She said she wanted to stand. Her heart was beating, but she didn't do it. I talked to this brother, said, I feel like I should have stand, but I didn't do it. So this is my last ask. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, stand up really quickly. I'm going to say, I got my brother over there in the back. Got my brother in the back. Look at his girl. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We got three over here. Look at over here. Anybody else? Hallelujah. 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 Stay standing up, guys. I'm going to say a prayer for you. But way to go. Way to go. You're pleasing God with this decision. Way to go. Way to go. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm sweating up a pig up here. Here's the next ask. Anybody living in a land of Zebulun and Naphtali in the house. Anybody need God to transform their life? Anybody need the Holy Spirit to fill them? Anybody need, then you're in darkness right now and you need the Holy Spirit to fill your life. Hallelujah. God, we humble ourselves before you. Jesus, you are the light of the world. I thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for moving in hearts in this service. You're so good. You're so faithful, God. All the glory belongs to you. It's your church, Lord. And for those of you who stood up to receive Jesus, would you just say this prayer? Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. I want to repent of them. I want to live for you. So I ask you to put your Holy Spirit inside of me. Give me a new power and a new strength to live for you. As best as I know how, I get away from the steering wheel, and I ask you, Jesus, to get behind the steering wheel of my life. Oh, transform me. Change me. Give me a desire to go to church, to read your word. All of the rest of you, residents of Zebulun and Naphtali, say this: Holy Spirit, come. I ask you to break the things that I cannot break. I ask you to restore. I ask you to heal. I want to put my boots and my uniform in the fire. And I want to live for you in a way that I never have before. Give me your Holy Spirit. Give me the power to live a righteous life. Set me free from all the schemes and strategies of the devil. And Satan, you no longer have any business in my life, and I crush you under my feet in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to live for you, Jesus. I'm going to live for you. Holy Spirit, have your way inside of me. I pray we just run it back. But I run it back with you, Holy Spirit, pumping inside of my chest. Give me strength and encouragement to do this every day. I'm going to need you tonight, and I'm going to need you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and every day. Holy Spirit, thank you for your love. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for your zeal, God. Thank you for being zealous over us, God. You are so good. I worship you, Lord. I give you praise. We give you praise. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.